Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Yeah, welcome in, pro wrestling fans. Here on a Saturday, it is time for the weekend edition of Busted Open Radio Podcast. I am Ryan McKinnell, the weekend host, and joining me, holding down as always, our own WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. And Mark, love is in the air. It is a Valentine's Day edition of Busted Open, and oh yeah, it's also the 50th birthday of our own very own Tommy Dreamer, the innovator of violence. Had to get that out of the way here on a Saturday.
Man, I can't wait to see the show tonight. I want to see what happens with Tommy Dreamer. And I think the rest of the world is all ready for tonight and tomorrow.
That's a great point. Lots of great pro wrestling. That's right, Tommy getting it in tonight at Impact. No Surrender taking on Rich Swann for the Impact Championship. And as Mark referenced as well, we got a takeover preview to get to with Vengeance Day. We do that inside. And also, Mark, we recap SmackDown from last night. A returning Seth Rollins, but with a little bit of a catch, a little bit of a swerve, if you will, Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah, he put a little Mark Henry on it. But you know what? I think that for every fan that listens to the podcast version, you're going to get the info how we feel that Seth Rollins can make a big splash coming back from his hiatus.
And speaking of how we feel, Mark Henry, it wouldn't be a Saturday edition of Busted Open if we didn't give the nation our best show for the week that was in professional wrestling, as we deliver, as always, on a Saturday weekly winner. Let's get it going. What do you say, Mark Henry?
Let's go.
Let's go. Sit back, click play, relax. It's a Saturday edition of Busted Open.
I look at SmackDown and how amazing it is, and I wonder, where do I fit in? I am the great leader that SmackDown needs to push it into the future and make it greater than it already is. Because success and leadership, it's not about what you can do for me. It's about what I can do for you. Because I can be your leader. I can be your teacher. I can be your father, your mentor. All you have to do is embrace the vision.
I knew you'd get it. I knew you would understand my vision. I knew you would see it, of all the people.
But wait a minute, so much for embracing the vision, and Rollins now goes right after Cesaro and takes him out at the knee. It's Seth Rollins is irate. Well, it's pretty apparent that Seth Rollins has not changed for the better.
Now, it was pretty clear that Seth Rollins has not changed for the better. You heard it there, Michael Cole last night on Friday Night SmackDown, and the dastardly Seth Rollins making his return and putting it on the one and only Cesaro. As Cesaro, Mark, he was the last holdout. Seth brought a whole entire locker room out to hear his spiel, to hear about his return. He had a captive audience right up until he didn't, and Cesaro was that last holdover. But I did enjoy it. It was actually, I found it kind of, I don't know, it was a little funny. There's a little bit of a comedic element watching the entire locker room leave Seth there alone in the ring. But I did find it interesting, Mark, that the locker room was open to hearing from Seth to begin with, including Dominik and Rey Mysterio. And this dude just tried to take Rey's eye less than a year ago. But it showed me, at least on some level, Mark, that the locker room was open to hearing what Seth Rollins had to say, but only lasted a couple seconds before they turned around and hauled ass back to the locker room.
Man, how are you going to say I could be your father? You're meant, oh, you're Darth Vader now? Damn.
Yeah, the black
I just
look.
Couldn't. Oh, my God. He tried to take it there, bro. He really tried to take it there, and nobody was hearing that noise. And, hell, I would have left, too. You would have left, too. You don't want to be the bad carrier.
Yeah, I don't think I would have trusted him as he walked out with all that juice in his hair and that black glove and that skin tight suit. I'll be like, that doesn't look like a guy that I want to follow. That doesn't look like a guy I want to believe in. I feel like that guy doesn't have my best interest at heart. So I feel like I would have been back at catering, eating some barbecue on a bagel, because undoubtedly if I was in the WWE, I would demand that Vince McMahon
have barbecue and bagels.
Exactly, of course. I mean, I would have that written into my contract. I don't need my own bus. I'm not Randy Orton. I'm not CM Punk. I don't need anything like that. I just want my barbecue on a bagel, Mark Henry. That's all I give a shit about. Let's go.
Man, I'm right there with you, bro. Like, we it's too early to talk. I mean, we're not even 30 minutes in. We can't do that now.
Did you see our man Marcus Gurley? He hit us up down there. He hit us up on Twitter. He's eating some reheated leftover deep dish pizza right now. Made my stomach turn, but it also made me very, very hungry. So thanks for that, Marcus. We appreciate all the food picks here at 6 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, 6:22 if we're being exact. So yeah, not like I'm hungry or anything, but Mark, let's not get sidetracked by food, because as you both know, or as everyone knows, as we both know,
it'll happen.
Well, yeah, it'll happen, but let's hope it doesn't take an entire hour. Listen, how long, as we get back to Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and this story that is seemingly developing on some level, because Mark, I know they're not intertwined right now, but Seth Rollins, right, and Roman Reigns are inexplicably linked for their future, right? They may not be linked right now in a story, but you can't have these two gentlemen on the same show and not think about their history, not think about what's going to come down the pipeline. And with them both being pieces of shit right now and being genuinely unlikable heels, I feel like it's and their status in the sport, I feel like it's only a matter of time before these two eventually meet. How long do they hold off? What is the thinking here? Because that's a money storyline, depending on how they do it. And Mark, it's now pretty clear that we got another year before we even think about Dwayne The Rock Johnson coming back and potentially having that story with Roman, which is something I think they want to do. The Seth story, however they want to do it, is a nice stopgap in between that. So how long do we got?
Oh, my gosh. I would say we have at least a year. I mean, okay. It's one of those that's one that you don't want to rush that. Like, you have to be able to tell the entire story.
Can you stay away from it? Can you stay away from it? Okay.
You can stay away from it. I mean, Dwayne is busy. He got stuff to do. And I think that the way that you can stopgap that is you do what you just suggested. You have Roman and Seth lock horns.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. I'm sorry. When I asked you that, I thought when I said how long can they hold off on Seth and Roman? Because that's because that's what I'm thinking. As you said, we have a year potentially between
after WrestleMania.
Like, okay, so maybe SummerSlam, maybe even past that.
You had your chance to be champion, and we see how that turned out. Either you lost, or you can say we were like brothers. We traveled together. We ran the highways together. You're an uncle now. Why wouldn't you give your brother a shot at what you have? I would do it. I mean, you know me. You say the head of the table. Like, if you're the head of the table, there's nobody above you to make to change the decision. You make the decision. And we'll tear the house down. And then we'll shake hands afterwards like men do. And you could just feel the bullshit oozing through your television. And now you give Roman the opportunity to rebuttal.
Yeah.
And let him know that, listen, if anybody does know you, it's me. And you can feed that crock of shit to everybody else. But I know as soon as you get a chance, you're going to stab me in the back like you did before. You're a scorpion. And I know you heard the story of the scorpion and the toad. And the toad was jumping in the water to go across the lake, and the scorpion said, hey, hold on a second. Give me a ride over there on that side. No, Mr. Scorpion. Mm-mm. I know who you are. You'll stick me and I'll die. Listen, if I stuck you, that means that we both would die. I don't want to die. And he says, well, that's a good point. Jump on. And there they go across the lake. And they're having a good conversation. And then all of a sudden, bam, the scorpion stabs the toad in the back, pumps him full of venom, and they both start to go down. He's like, why would you do that? He said, you knew I was a scorpion when I got on your back. And that's Seth Rollins. He is a scorpion. He is a shyster. He is a snake oil salesman, whatever you want to call him. He is that. And you cannot trust him. And I think Roman knows that.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it. Because also, Mark, Seth has been on this journey as the Messiah for quite some time. He can certainly have some more legs out of it. But if there's anyone who is doing better heel work right now in the company and over the last, whatever, however long, I mean, Roman's only been a heel for a little while, it's certainly Seth Rollins. The man has been a top heel at any time that he has chosen to take that route, or he's been put in that sort of role, and he's absolutely killed it. So I think it could also be a good story to potentially, when you do it, to change or to push Seth in towards a more of a babyface role, because Roman is about as unlikable as they come right now. So it's going to be really interesting. Let's catch up with the Nation and see what they got to say. Mark, 877-FIGHT-93. We got Jeff in South Dakota right now with some thoughts right on this exact subject between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. This is Jeff in South Dakota. What's up, Jeff? Good to hear from you. How you doing?
Morning. I got the Amish ham that I just got out here in New York on the slow cooker here in the truck, smoking her up, smelling good.
Jeff, you got a slow trucker? You got a slow cooker in your truck?
Yeah, he's a truck driver.
I got a rotisserie. I plug in my outlet and
yes!
put it on the spit, let it go. I got a small deep fryer in here. I got a pizza oven in here. Got a crock pot in here.
All right, Jeff. No, yeah. I knew you were doing your trucking thing. I didn't know you had an entire kitchen holding it down. That warms our busted open hearts. You know that very well, Jeff. I love it.
Yeah. They even make a air fryer for trucks now too.
Incredible.
Yeah. Hey, I think Seth Rollins is a top heel everywhere. I just don't think his depth of character exceeds the heel depth of character we have with Roman and Paul.
I agree.
We've seen the Seth Rollins Messiah thing. It's good at times. It's great at other times. But it's only limited to certain people that you can do it with. We saw him back when he was with Vince and all them. It's the corporation or whatever, kind of the same thing, different clothing. I think you keep him as far away. I don't want to see him as a babyface. I never liked him that way. I'm not sure who he goes up with. Maybe the Cesaro angle is a way to go. I almost would rather see him back on Raw to help with that. And then
I don't disagree with you about that as far as Raw goes, because he would certainly add substance there to the show on Monday. And I agree with you on that. But Jeff, when you talk about Rollins, I mean, there is that new kid. I get what you're saying about him as a baby face, but he has a baby face story with Becky, their love interest. Hey, it's Valentine's Day, right? Cupid arrows is sweet. He's got the new kid. I'm just saying Becky could be that catalyst.
Yeah. You could make anybody a face, give them a pet frog and a fish, and you could make him a face, and it doesn't necessarily make sense. I just don't think it's good having two mega heels on the same one that are going to run and clash. And because I'm going to lose service, I want to say my favorite couples in wrestling, I'm going to mark out, not Henry mark out, but I'm going to mark out and say my favorite couples have always been Beulah and the birthday boy Tommy Dreamer. I like watching the ECW stuff and that. I mean, Macho and Elizabeth is probably going to be the winner of the big choice, but I'm going with marking out, and I'm going to go Tommy Dreamer and Beulah. Thanks for the call.
I like it, Jeff.
I'll enjoy this ham.
All right, buddy. You enjoy. Grub down. And, yeah, happy 50th birthday to our very own Tommy Dreamer. That's right. Dreamer, 50 years old today, getting his shot at the Impact Championship later tonight against Rich Swann on Impact Plus. We'll be breaking that down as the show goes on. This is Busted Open.
Hello, SiriusXM. This is Pat McAfee. Starting Wednesday, my show is coming to Mad Dog Sports Radio. If you don't know me, here's a resume. I used to kick balls for a living. Sometimes I do comedy. I'm an undefeated professional wrestler except for one match. And I do a radio show where I'll entertain the living hell out of you with sports takes and some stories from my crazy life. The dumbest sports show to ever exist, The Pat McAfee Show. We're on weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern starting Wednesday on Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or however the hell you stream in your house.
All right, back here on a Saturday, pro wrestling fans. Busted open, rolling along. I'm Ryan. That is Mark. Notice we're talking about great pro wrestling couples. Valentine's Day is on the mind. Historic pro wrestling couples. How about a new couple? Well, relatively new, at least in terms of newly engaged, Mark. I can't believe we didn't bring up Mia Yim and Keith Lee. Marcus Gurley, our pal, reminded me on Twitter that, hey, yeah, you should probably mention the couple that just got engaged within the last 48 hours. My bad, Mia and Keith. Congratulations.
Yeah, I also thought of Booker and Charmelle.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? King and Queen?
Yeah, the King and the Queen. King Booker.
Booker. Yes. Yeah. That is a good one. That's a good one. There's a lot of them. And I'm sure the callers have got more out there that will spark our memory and our interest. And speaking of the callers, Mark, man, we're doing God's work here today on a Saturday. I talked about favorite couples in the last segment. And of course, Mark Henry and Mae Young came to mind. You talked about there's joy there, but it sounded like there was a bit of trauma also on your behalf of the birth of your child. It turned out to not look exactly how you anticipated. Of course, the legendary hand. It sounds like the hand and Mark Henry have been out of contact for a long time, but that's what we do on this show. We bring people together. We heal relationships, and that's what we're about to do right now. We got the hand on the phone wanting to catch up with his father, Mark Henry. Hand, welcome in on a Saturday.
Hey guys. Hi, Dad. How are you?
Yeah, hey, son.
How's it going?
Really is.
How's
it going?
What's the last 20 years been like?
You know, I'm not going to lie, it hasn't been easy. For a long time, I was kind of angry with Dad, and I could only put up one finger when I thought about him. I'll let you think about which finger that is. But
I can imagine.
In the last few years, man, you know, I've come to peace with it, so now I got two fingers up when I think about Dad. But it hasn't been easy. You know, you're in the shadow of the world's strongest man and sexual chocolate. You got to make your own mark in this world, and no pun intended. Yeah. And I've been trying to make my mark in Hollywood. I've auditioned for numerous hamburger helper commercials.
That's great. I heard something a couple years ago that you lost out. They were doing like some CGI for the Addams Family movie. And since, I mean, it was animation, I guess it was, you were too realistic, so you couldn't get the role or something.
I honestly put all my heart and soul in that audition, and that broke my heart when that didn't come to be. But I've been trying, you know, I've been trying to audition for different emojis, to a wave, a thumbs up. Nothing's been going my way, but it's okay. Cause you know, I get to turn on Monday Night Raw, and every so often my dad shows up, and that just puts a smile on my face.
I got Mark, a question for you. How's your grip?
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to lie.
Been in the gym?
It's as if I throw my entire body into it every time I grip. It's really like I give it my all every single time, Dad. You'd be proud of me.
Mark, what is it like after 20 years, you know, to hear from, you know, a son like this, a long lost son, someone that, you know, you've obviously lost contact with. I know you had feelings about it. Is there any way we can maybe reconcile and build to the future, maybe get a meeting between you and your son after all these years?
Well, I mean, you know, being that, you know, I went on, you know, had a family of my own.
Mark,
we weren't.
The hand was first. Come on, man. You know he was first. You're sitting here talking to him. He's went through 20 years of playing second fiddle and being forgotten about. And now you're going to bring up your new family? The hand was smart.
Ryan McKenna.
Let me
tell you something. If you look at the hand and you look at me, you will see that there is very little resemblance between me and the hand.
But
got more of May.
But to be fair, Dad, if you look at May, if you look at Mom, she was paler than, you know, she was paler than anybody. So really, maybe it's just a balance of the two.
Mm. See?
And okay, to be honest, Dad, I wish I was there with you recently in Tampa when Randy Orton gave you all that crap, because I tell you what, I would have had your back. I would have thrown my entire body. I would have thrown my entire body into it and slapped him in the face. You know, I really would have for you.
Hand, it was good to hear from you. I know this was, it took a lot of courage to call in, especially on a Valentine's Day and, you know, all the talk. And I'm sure it, you know, brought up some, you know, some memories. I don't know, good, bad, whatever the case may be, but I'm really glad that we're building towards a future relationship. And hopefully you and your father can, you know, find some peace down the road. It was really enlightening hearing from you, man.
Guys, it's been great, Dad. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, Instagram. You can find me, Dad. Let's talk.
All right, I'm on the way.
At the Hand. Man, that was special. Thank you, Hand. That was special. I was not expecting to hear from the Hand today, Mark.
Yeah, me neither was I.
Well, no, I mean,
I'm awfully surprised.
Nobody's as surprised as I am. All right, let's pivot from this very quickly because I don't know how much longer I can hold on to this. Let's go to Chris in Fresno. I'm going to talk some power couples in professional wrestling. What's up, Chris?
Hey guys,
what's up?
What you got?
I got.
Nah, we just stopped doing the show.
Randy Savage. I got Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
No question.
That's up there amongst the top. I mean,
hey, right?
Triple H and Stephanie and you got to have Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
Chris, who's your Miss Elizabeth and Savage for today's generation? So if you got a young kid out there, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, who would you equate to the power couple of today?
I'd say Lana and her guy.
Miro.
Yeah,
Rusev, Miro, yeah. I like that. And thank you for the call, Chris. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, Chris. I know that's a little weird, but damn it, we're spreading love. So enjoy it. And thanks to the Hand as well for calling in. I don't think we brought up Lana and Miro, Mark. And I love that pick because not only are they a great power couple and a great couple in professional wrestling, but they've been that way for a while. And we've been talking about them as a couple for a while. And, you know, right now they're both doing pretty solid work.
Lana is she's battling a behemoth, and Miro is... the best friend.
That's right. That's right. Let's do one more on the couple front here. 877-FIGHT-93. We got Lee in St. Louis talking great professional wrestling couples. What's up, Lee? Welcome in.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Listen, y'all forgot one that's for today, which is Miz and Maryse.
Oh!
Come on!
Boom! Miz and Mrs.? Goes the dynamite.
How the hell did we not mention that?
How? How? What? That's, bro, that's classic.
Yo, yes, and they're like everywhere too.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Wow. Actually, that's great. Like Andre, I know you're sitting over there on your hands. You know, the producer to the stars. Like, what do you got?
All right, so I got two. First one, if you remember really well, Edge and Vicky Guerrero.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Vicky and Dolph.
Yeah.
Oh shit, guys!
Boy, Vicky got around.
Oh yeah, right. Andre, what's your other one? Because you just sparked one in me that I can't believe we didn't mention. What's your next one? Maybe you'll mention it.
My other one, and I don't know if people call this a couple, but they have been basically a couple through the years. But Billy and Chuck.
Okay.
Best All friends, right. And they had the ceremony.
Hey, hit that cricket!
Awesome.
Hit that cricket!
Hit the cricket. He's the producer. He can't give his hottest takes and also hit the cricket button. Come on.
I'm not burying myself, too much for... Mark. Come on.
guys, AJ Lee and CM Punk.
Yes.
I know that obviously they're not active right now, but neither are Randy and Elizabeth, obviously. I mean, historically for the 2010s, when I think I just asked Chris, I forget who I just asked. Actually, I think it was Lee. You know, who his power couple of today would be, or the Elizabeth and Randy. I know there wasn't the chase like that. There wasn't that mainstream sort of, but yeah, AJ and Punk are definitely up there for me. They're a great power couple in pro wrestling.
And how could we forget Edge and Lita? That was the big one in the 2000s.
Yep. That for me, Yeah, I know there was, I know Lita came out recently and had her comments about the live sex show with Edge and how she, you know, felt uncomfortable about it. And in context, you know, I think about back at that time, you know, it's a little cringe and, you know, it doesn't have the same feeling that I did. But Mark, I have to be fair, go back 15 years. That was some of the hottest shit I've ever seen in pro wrestling history. And they were an extremely hot couple when they were together. And Mark, when Edge and Lita were together, there was obviously the story with Matt and all of that turmoil. That was... That they were a hot couple. They were a great couple in professional wrestling history. And it was a chaotic couple in professional wrestling history. But certainly for a lot of fans, definitely up there. I would totally understand that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody today, you know, you look at history and all of these people had their place. Yep. Everybody was good. Everybody was entertaining. I don't think that, We could, if we sat here, we could really come up with a ton. I mean,
well, Andre said Santino and Beth Phoenix. That got Beth Phoenix and Edge.
Yeah,
there's
Beth Phoenix
another one.
And Edge.
And Mark, yeah. It seems as we talk about Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins and all these couples, Zelina Vega and Aleister Black, Tez and Bianca Belair. I mean, it's literal. I mean, it feels like more so than at any time in professional wrestling, the locker room is hitched up, and it's been. I mean, they've been together for a lot of these couples have been together for a while.
For years. Yeah.
And, yeah. It just feels like the business.
There was
is more
a
family.
Time when that was. There was a time when it was kind of like a taboo thing. Like.
Yeah.
Guys, don't do it. Like and people really, really didn't do it. And yeah. You know, somebody just posted I think it was Shelly Martinez, you know, saying who was the greatest scandal in the locker room. And I don't wanna touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
But we know who it is. I mean, yeah, at least for me, 1997, 1998, we talking about sunny days. Like, I mean, for me, when you talk about locker room scandal, back, I can see the look on your face. You are. With that, we are going to take a break here on a Saturday when.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Murray. You may know me as host of the SiriusXM Blitz on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Here now to introduce you to my new podcast, Going Long. Every week, I'll talk to big names both in and out of the world of sports, Hall of Famers, actors, actresses, comedians, broadcasters, maybe even some chefs. We'll discuss their lives, their successes, their failures, and of course, the one thing that connects all of them, a passion for sports. So join me every Thursday on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, Stitcher, and Apple Podcast for Going Long.
56-year-old man, sorry, Tommy, but we're shooting here, has successfully gotten himself a world title match against a true professional wrestling athlete in Rich Swann. He has gotten himself a main event match at 57 years old, and I have no idea how this happened except to say that congratulations. We should create a new holiday for Tommy. Happy Carney Day, Tommy. You've done it better than anyone else.
Now we go from the hand calling in the last segment to the invisible hand, Don Callis, sending his birthday love? Wishes? To Tommy Dreamer earlier in the week here on Busted Open. As a reminder, if you missed any part of the week that was in Busted Open Nation land, you can catch it all on the SiriusXM app after the show. And then coming up later tonight, Mark, as we now know very well, coming up on Impact Plus. And I also believe heard on Fight TV as well. No Surrender, Impact going down tonight. You heard it there. Main event championship match between Rich Swann and our very own Tommy Dreamer, the Innovator of Violence, who is celebrating his 50th birthday today, getting that title shot. Mark, listen, I know it's a tall order, right? We talked about it. I didn't know if Tommy was ever going to get a shot like this again. He is, and it's exciting. It comes on his birthday. And Mark, in terms of a styles make fights sort of analysis, I'm really intrigued by the way this is going to look with Tommy getting in there with a talent like Rich Swann, because Rich, as you know, Mark, one of the best in the world.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, just recently I reached out to him and just to tell him, like, man, I'm really proud of how you developed over the years. And since the first conversation that I had with him when he was in Japan and was brought to the WWE. And he and Apollo Crews. And I'm like, man, like I could just see it, man. Like the dude is an unbelievable talent. And Tommy's got all he can handle right in front of him. Like this, this is not going to be one of those matches where you get hit with one thing and it's over. Like they're going to beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah, they are. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because, Mark, as we talk about, hey, I didn't know if Tommy would ever get this shot again. If we think about that and if we know that and if that's in the back of our mind, you damn sure can bet it's in Tommy Dreamer's mind. And he is the innovator of violence. He's going to have to pull out all the stops, Mark. I mean, listen, I know we're rooting for him, but again, he's going to have to pull out all the stops if he wants to get that victory tonight here, you know, at this pay-per-view.
You know, sometimes you got to lie, steal, and cheat, too.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, like, you know, if you're gonna if you're gonna do it, go all the way.
Hey, what's the old adage? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You ain't trying to win.
That's right. That's right. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Now, I also know that might not resonate with a guy who left powerlifting because of the steroid use in the business, but hey, you know what? It's pro wrestling. We can have a little bit of fun with it. Mark, listen, the championship match for the Impact Championship, but another championship on the line tonight at No Surrender is a match that I know a lot of people are looking forward to. Chris Sabin, James Storm versus the Good Brothers versus Private Party with Matt Hardy for those Impact World Tag Team Championships. This is sort of that first championship introduction, pay-per-view introduction of Private Party. Obviously, the AEW talent that have come over, part of that, you know, group share deal and everything that's going on. I don't always love three-way tags, but the way this is playing out with James Storm, with Sabin, that sort of, you know, interesting dynamic. And then, of course, the Good Brothers. And as I said, you know, prefacing everything with Private Party. This is a really compelling match to me. And I don't think the Good Brothers are going to lose their titles, but I do think it sets up some compelling, excuse me, storytelling heading into the months ahead.
Yeah, most definitely. This is one of the most versatile tags that we're going to see in a while because there's so many different elements involved. You have the high flyer, you have the ground and pound guys, and you have the guys that, you know, have a seasoned tag team that have worked together for so long that they know each other's thoughts before they think them, and they can do a little bit of everything. So you're going to get a very well-balanced tag with these three teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And another great match on the card tonight going down at No Surrender is that number one contenders match for the X Division Championship. It's a triple threat revolver match. Daivari's in it, Suicide, Billy Mack, Ace Austin, Trey Miguel, one of my favorites, a Vegas staple out here, Chris Bay, Josh Alexander, and Blake Christian. Mark, the amount of talent that is going to be mixing it up in that match as well. This is a really solid pay-per-view that Impact's put together tonight on Impact Plus.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the last two,
they
rose to the occasion, and that is what's required when the world is talking about pro wrestling the way that the world is talking about pro wrestling right now.
Yeah,
like if you want to be mentioned amongst the greats, then you got to stack the deck and put it all out there in front of the fans, so people won't go, well, I mean, I watch wrestling on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. No, like, you got to put Tuesday in there now. You have to.
Yep, you have to. Absolutely. Well, that is a quick preview and a look at what's going down tonight on Impact. Coming up in hour three, we are definitely going to take a dive into NXT TakeOver. Mark, I can't think of a main event, at least in recent memory, that I have been looking forward to more than Pete Dunne and Finn Balor. We are for sure going to be talking about that as the show continues on. But when we come back after a quick break, we're going to get to some of these calls. I promise you, Nationland, I see you guys waiting out there patiently, 877-FIGHT-90. We will be taking some calls, but we also have to dive back into SmackDown 8.
Hi, this is Adam Schein. The Adam Schein Podcast is back for another football season. I'll give you my passionate, hard-hitting takes every week, including picks against the spread and fantasy football advice, all while talking to the biggest guests in all of sports, celebrities, media personalities, diehard football fans on a weekly basis. It's the Adam Schein Podcast with new episodes dropping on Tuesdays. You can listen to the podcast anytime with the SiriusXM app, iTunes, Pandora, and with Stitcher.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah, let's go! We're back here on a Saturday. It is Weekly Winner time. I'm Ryan. That is Mark. And we got an NXT TakeOver preview coming up a little bit later in this hour. But Mark, before we do, we got to see if NXT is taking home the weekly winner for the week that was in professional wrestling. SmackDown has been on a tear. But Mark, as we get closer to WrestleMania, I feel like a little bit. I know we got Elimination Chamber in here and Rumble. Feels like SmackDown is losing just a little bit. Still a great show, but losing just a little bit of steam as the story with Roman Reigns continues. The race is getting tighter. It has been, for all intents and purposes, for the last couple years, it's been a regular battle of Wednesday night. Over the last few months, though, Mark, SmackDown has really been kicking in the door. This week was no different. A lot of tough choices to be made, but that's what we do here on Busted Open on a Saturday. Weekly winner time. You kick it off.
You know what, man? Monday Night Raw, I thought, was a very entertaining show. It wasn't the best wrestling because there were so many disqualifications and so many snippets of what there was to come. But the one match that we did get that was, at the top of the list was Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. It was worth the wait. I enjoyed it. I thought that even in a loss, Riddle didn't lose. That's the way wrestling used to be when I was a kid. You know, like, my heroes, sometimes they would lose.
Yeah.
And the heel would roll out, whether he lied, stole, or cheated, or whatever it was. But he would shake his head like, okay,
I'll figure you out
next week.
Next week.
And you would go off seeing that guy pissed, kicking the ropes, going, man, I got to get this guy. And that's what that match reminded me of. I mean, it was old school. It was an old school match. And I want to see more of that and less of the typical type of things in pro wrestling. Charlotte Flair and Lacey Evans was the next thing that, man, they just, boy, you talk about beating the hell out of each other. I mean, Charlotte was hitting her where I was just like, will somebody jump in and stop this? This is too much. I mean, And this is me talking. I mean, this is like I'm an untrained wrestling fan. Like what the hell was going on? Like, man, pay her money. And you know, with the show being good like that, what else can you really can't criticize the disruptions in the matches, because you're actually getting what you want. That match served two masters. I got to see Ric Flair, Charlotte interaction, and I got to see Lacey Evans get an ass kick for what she's doing.
And you also got, as we talk about Raw and you talk about that interaction, we got the viral moment of the week with my hole.
My hole.
I feel like my hole, with as much joy as it has brought us this week, I feel like it should, I don't know, give a bump to the rankings for weaker for Monday Night Raw? No?
Get a little bit of you know, shine on it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But tell me that you were not entertained. I mean, just watching.
Yes.
Just seeing Drew and Randy stand face to face, you know, is good. I don't know if anything else on the show deserves a lot of attention. But all I can say is everything kind of paired well, especially when you had Shayna Baszler and Naomi, in which we've been wanting to see Naomi for months now. She's just been gone. I was just so happy to see her.
Yep.
And, you know, like the whole Lana and Nia Jax, you know, we got the, like you said, my hole. we got, I mean, that was, God, what did it do? It took the business by storm. It took the internet. Like you saw memes of people using that. And whenever you cross over and people from other industries start using you as a meme, you did it. You made it. You are right.
Yeah, absolutely. And they brought it. So, they brought it back on Friday, Mark. It was so successful. We got a glimpse of it last night on SmackDown as well.
Yeah. And so so that was great. I gotta say, man. Like,
And Bad Bunny. Don't forget Bad Bunny
in his pajamas.
Yes.
You talk about a businessman. That dude he knows how to make money.
Yo,
he knows how to make money.
Did you see the report on the merch that he sold in the last couple weeks? Like, it was so, like, top
staggering.
Five shirts. Like better than, I mean, we're talking massive percentages better than everyone else. So again, not to interrupt you in the week of winter.
Not 20%. Yeah. I'm talking about 200%.
Right. So again, Mark, I see a lot of people complaining about their crossover. This Bad Mooney, he's not an actual wrestler. He didn't put in his time. Guys, listen, this is pro wrestling.
It's a business too.
It's a business, but also you should be glad that people like Cardi B and Bad Bunny and these crossover stars and these entertainers they feel comfortable coming to this business. They love professional wrestling. They don't mind pairing and linking their brand to our brand. That's a powerful thing. It's a good thing. And Mark, again, context, and again, not to, you know, bust up Weekly Winner here too much. This has been going on since the first WrestleMania, since before, right? Talent, celebrities, entertainment, pro wrestling, it's all it runs side by side.
Yeah. And then, you know, I have to go on to Wednesday. Wednesday is always my favorite week.
Of course.
You know, I mean, you can't beat it, man. It is what it is now. And you start off, and MSK, man, like, them boys are so good, man. And Legado del Fantasma, I always say the name wrong. They had a battle. I mean, it was every hold. They it was old school. Like, they worked everything to get into something or get out of something. And it wasn't just one. It was all four of those men in that match.
Yeah.
Made it seem like, man, this is an unbelievable struggle. And I really enjoyed it. And it was, my opinion, the best wrestling match of the week. I mean, just for the simple fact of how much real wrestling went into it. And, man, Xia Li, everybody knows, like, I'm a fan of hers. This new persona and the whole storyline of what's going on is very interesting. It's like watching a new show on television. It's a show within the show. And I thought that was something that was really good. And watching the women's tag for the Dusty Cup semifinal, I was entertained. I thought there was good wrestling, good storylines. I thought sometimes it was a little spotty, but nonetheless, it was really, really good stuff. And you can't beat.
Yeah.
You can't beat the matches, you know, with Timothy Thatcher and Ciampa and the Grizzled Young Veterans. Like, it made sense. They made everything make sense on that show, man. I just Austin Theory and Kushida. Like, really good, solid match.
Yeah.
A lot of entertainment value in the midst of Johnny Gargano coming out there in a damn wheelchair and showing a compound fracture and watching Wade Barrett talk about it. Like, it was, man, it was entertaining as hell. Like, got I fractured really,
in four,
really
got fractured in four different places, Mark Henry.
And he had a sling on.
Yeah.
Not a cast, but a sling. Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. But I really enjoyed it, man. And, you know, you go over to AEW, and, you know, everybody would say that the TNT Championship was the thing that was supposed to be the most important. I mean, I don't think it lived up. I'm not really a Joey Janela fan, you know.
Boo. Like, I'm booing you, not Joey Janela. I'm booing you.
He looks like
Joey.
A plumber to me. And not to mention, he talks shit when that Leo Rush stuff come up in one of these days.
Not like you have a memory.
Face to face. Yeah, I hold a grudge. I ain't going to even lie. I'm not even going to lie.
Well,
I'm not
Joey?
Gonna shade it.
Like, Joey, sorry, you know, man. I tried.
He's gonna have to see me face to face one day, and I want to hear that shit.
Okay.
I want to hear it then. But anyway.
I'm gonna be quiet.
That being said, hell of a show, man. Like, having Cody out there, Pac and Nemeth, man. Like, Pac is just a step above. I mean, Nemeth ran into a buzzsaw, bro. And it was funny to me. I mentioned this to you earlier that Dolph put his brother's meme, put him choked out on his social media. So that being said, the brother said, "You know what? You want to do that?" Ryan put Dolph's face when they covered him in supposedly shit on his page. And it's just that brother stuff, man. Like, I thought that was very entertaining.
Love is in the air.
A little crossover. Bro, MJF and Jericho versus The Acclaim. The Acclaim is getting better every week. They are must-see wrestling. If you miss AEW this week, the thing that you miss the most is how well The Acclaim is rounding out. And they, you know, mixed along in there, you had Sammy Guevara saying,
yeah,
"I'm done." Like,
which we've been waiting
that's
for.
That's what y'all want?
Yep.
Y'all have a ball. I said one more thing. So it was an entertaining show, too. There was so much stuff. You know, anytime you get to see Thunder Rosa, I mean, I'm a fan of the wrestling, but I'm a fan of the woman, of the talent, of the character. Like, it just moves me. It don't matter who she works, even though Layla Hirsch, you know, she really not competent. It was kind of just like
it was a showcase.
Match. Yeah, it was a showcase. It was just like, you know, Ryan in there with Pop. Like, it was a placeholder spot. I enjoy seeing Kenta in the ring again.
I want to see
Kenta be more the focal point, you know, but I guess that'll come with him and Moxley, you know, like we'll get to that. But it was just a really good Wednesday of pro wrestling, man. Like, both shows got the job done wrestling wise. Both shows got the job done entertainment wise. And then you get down to the show last night and watching how everything is leading towards one of the bigger pay-per-views of the year, the Elimination Chamber. You get the reactions from each one of those matches. It just painted the picture of where pro wrestling is going on Friday nights. Everything revolves around Roman Reigns, but you know, you see Kevin Owens come in and he's stunning. It looked like the old days of the Attitude Era when Steve Austin was, you know, just running roughshod over the company.
Right.
And I really enjoyed that. And it was kind of a breath of fresh air to see old school type pro wrestling, you know, brought back to the front. I really enjoyed SmackDown. I think that Big E and Apollo Crews did a hell of a job of captivating the audience. When I say the audience, I mean us at home. I sat with my kids and we were watching and eating hot dogs and having a good time. And Jacob said, Big E is serious now. And I went, it's like you're getting a different version of something that was already good. If that's like putting cheese on a burger. I always have to bring stuff back to food. It's what I love.
Or bacon on anything.
Or bacon on a burger.
Or anything.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just, or anything for that matter.
Yeah, I was just saying, asparagus.
Bacon, you can put bacon in cereal.
Yeah. Put it on a piece of toast.
It'll be good.
Yeah. Well, cereal, sure. You know what? Screw it. I'm not even.
You know what? Screw it, man. Just, sure. You know, put some cereal. Cinnamon Toast Crunch and sprinkle bacon in and see what happens. I bet it'll be good.
I bet it won't suck.
I bet it'll be good, Ryan, while you're trying to throw shade.
Naysayer. But, hater.
Naysayer. Go do it. Go do it. But you look at also the stories that lead into the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
With what's going to happen, the speculation of the Elimination Chamber. And Roman Reigns having two matches or having a match against guys that have come out of. Roman Reigns having a match against guys that are coming out of the Elimination Chamber. That itself paints the picture of Roman Reigns being just, you know, having an advantage once again. But with that being said.
Yeah, let's get it.
Where's the Miz going to fit into this?
That's a good question.
You know, it's just they made it. They made everything abundantly clear of how to pose where the excitement is going to be. And I just enjoyed it, man. I thought that, you know, and then you had a return. You had Seth Rollins come back. You have all the ballyhoo with the ring being surrounded and
his old people, music,
you know, the old music. I mean, it's just like, you're thinking you're going to get one thing and he Mark Henry'd him. And I loved it. I mean, it was just a really good week for pro wrestling. But with all that being said, guys, if you're not first, you're last. You can only choose one.
That's right.
And I have to choose SmackDown once again.
Wow. Okay.
It was real close.
All right.
I really thought that NXT was going to be able to pull it out, but Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
It was just too star-studded. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention the fact that the beautiful Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair graced the ring. And all of that, you know, with Nia and Shayna Baszler led right into those next two matches. Like, it flowed well. Like, they just, SmackDown just had to do.
Hey, and it was nice also, as you talk about Nia and Shayna, Mark, to be reminded that the women's tag team champions can show up on both shows. So it was nice to have that reminder as well. I'm with you when you talked about Monday. I thought Monday was a solid show. I thought it was entertaining. I thought, you know, I think Edge has a lot to do with it as well, and the decision that he has awaiting him. It's definitely must-watch TV because, you know, I think most of us remember what it was like not having Edge around for 10 years. So it's nice to have him back and in the mix and potentially, as we've heard, according to reports, being, you know, regular worker and working with younger talent. It's all really, really, really exciting. I'm with you, Mark. Wednesday night just continues to be the best night in pro wrestling. You talked about that main event. on NXT between the Grizzled Young Veterans and Ciampa and Tim Thatcher. Last week, I called Old Man Ciampa. I think I would Dreamer. I was referencing the horseshoe head that was coming out on Ciampa. He was letting his gray
go.
Actually made reference to it on Wednesday. He said, hey, it's Toothless Timmy and Old Man Ciampa are going to come down there and start kicking some ass. I like that element that they're developing between those two. I did think it was interesting, and I like this, that the Grizzled Young Veterans got the win over Ciampa and Thatcher, Mark. I like it from this standpoint. Does great things for Grizzled Young Veterans, but I also think it's going to add an even more psychotic edge to Thatcher and Ciampa and give them something to be pissed off about, like they didn't need that, like they needed that in the first place, right? But I like
and
the
last layers. Week, you remember what you said, how you hated the fact that when they brought in these guys and you put two guys together and they go out and they do it and it's tailor-made and it's for them go and win the cup. It didn't happen.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. The Grizzled Young Veterans getting a nice, nice spotlight put on them with that win. March in the MSK and Legado del Fantasma match that kicked off NXT. Like that was, I think, like 15 minutes of just top level tag team wrestling. It's obviously nice that you have the Dusty Rhodes Classic sort of there in the backdrop to set the mood and to elevate, to heighten the experience, if you will. But they delivered in a big way. I continue to like what Xia Li's doing. You mentioned Kushida and Austin Theory in a really solid singles match until it ended with Gargano coming in and attacking Kushida. That was great. I thought AEW was really solid. The big takeaway, Mark, is I think something you referenced, Guevara out of the Inner Circle. That's something that we've been waiting a long time for.
Yeah.
When he returns to television, we're not exactly sure. The last we saw from Sammy Guevara, he said, I need some time alone. I need to recollect my thoughts. I need to figure out what I want. And then he walks out of the building. So I would expect Guevara to be off TV for a little bit, but I would also expect when he comes back to obviously a huge push awaiting him. And then as Mark referenced, that main event, seeing Omega and Kenta together, taking on Moxley and Archer. That was awesome. Really liked the way AEW came together. I liked SmackDown, Mark, but I got to be honest, I was deciding weekly winner. And as I was watching the show last night, it was a good show, but I didn't put it in the vein of NXT or, to be honest, even AEW. It just didn't feel like, I don't know. It felt very quick. Like we got all the news about the Elimination Chamber in one show, right? The fact that how Roman Reigns was going to be defending it. Then we got all the entrants in the Elimination Chamber announced. It felt very quick. It was a good show, Mark. Again, it just felt a little quick. The best show for me, top to bottom, front to back, is Mark, you referenced, not taking a bathroom break. Weekly winner for me is going to NXT. NXT got my weekly winner. Those Dusty...
Good
those
week Dusty, of wrestling, man.
I mean, bro, the first match of the night on NXT is a drop-dead, knock-em-out tag team match, and the last match of the night is the same thing with Grizzled Young Veterans and Thatcher and Ciampa. Like, I love tag team
big
wrestling.
Swerve,
love,
big win.
Yep, exactly. And then, you know, a little bit of good singles action there, continuation of some stories that we're still getting the curtain pulled back on with Xia Li. Just really well done. 2 hours of television. NXT getting my award for weekly winner. SmackDown getting the nod from only Mark Henry. The race is tight. I don't know the latest updates, but that's what we got our boy Shofi for. Hopefully he'll call in and give us an updated total here over the next few weeks. But Mark, when we come back, they were my weekly winner as I talk about NXT. You, as I said, gave it to SmackDown. But one thing we're going to do when we come back is unify around the love and appreciation for what we're about to see in 24 hours. NXT TakeOver, Mark, and the main event of the month, as far as I'm concerned, Pete Dunne and Finn Balor getting after it.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.